Love is work made visible. And if you cannot work with love, but only with distaste, it is better that you should leave your work and sit at the gate of the temple and take alms of those who work with joy. Khalil Gibran.
I never did a day's work in my life. It was all fun. Thomas Edison.
Thinking is the hardest work there is, which is probably the reason why so few engage in it.
Henry Ford.
Choose a job you love, and you will never have to work a day in your life. Confucius.
Nothing will work unless you do. Maya Angelou.
The man who has his millions will want everything he can lay his hands upon, and then raise his voice against the poor devil who wants 10 cents more a day. Samuel Gompers.
Show me the country that has no strikes, and I'll show you the country in which there is no liberty. Samuel Gompers.
Our problems stem from our acceptance of this filthy, rotten system. Dorothy Day.
What does labor want? We want more schoolhouses and less jails, more books and less arsenals, more learning and less vice, more leisure and less greed, more justice and less revenge. In fact, more of the opportunities to cultivate our better natures, to make manhood more noble, womanhood more beautiful, and childhood more happy and bright. Samuel Gompers.
Be true to your work, your word, and your friends. Henry David Thoreau.
What Work Is, by Philip Levine. We stand in the rain in a long line, waiting at Ford Highland Park for work. You know what work is. If you're old enough to read this, you know what work is, although you may not do it. Forget you. This is about waiting, shifting from one foot to another, feeling the light rain falling like mist into your hair, blurring your vision until you think you see your own brother ahead of you, maybe 10 places. You rub your glasses on your fingers, and of course, it's someone else's brother, narrower across the shoulders than yours, but with the same sad slouch, the grin that does not hide the stubbornness, the sad refusal to give in to rain, to the hours wasted waiting, to the knowledge that somewhere ahead, a man is waiting who will say no. We're not hiring today, for any reason he wants. You love your brother. Now suddenly, you can hardly stand the love flooding you from your brother, for your brother, who's not beside you, or behind, or ahead, because he's home, trying to sleep off a miserable night shift at Cadillac, so he can get up before noon to study his German. Works 8 hours a day so he can sing Wagner, the opera you hate the most, the worst music ever created. How long has it been since you told him you loved him, held his wide shoulders, opened your eyes wide, and said those words, and maybe kissed his cheek? You've never done something so simple, so obvious. Not because you're too young or too dumb. Not because you're jealous or even mean or incapable of crying in the presence of another man. No. Just because you don't know what work is.
We celebrate Labor Day to honor the American workers, and especially to honor organized labor, which fought for so many years for the rights of American workers to earn a decent pay in healthy, safe environments and to be treated with respect. Now, most labor in the first three colonies were done mainly by family groups and by thousands of indentured servants. In Chesapeake Bay alone, 130,000 to 150,000 indentured servants arrived before 1700. But in 1619, quote, "In Chesapeake Bay sailed a Dutch man of war that sold us 20 Negroes." No mention of slavery, no mention of color. In fact, it was not until after 1639 that the term slave was used in Maryland. 1664, the first slavery codes began the trend of making African servants slaves for life. For early colonists, most labor was naturally unfree. In these colonies, the only labor system foreordained was the hard usage of men, women, and children, whether red, white, or black. It's tradesmen who lead the first fight for workers' rights. In 1677, the first recorded prosecution against strikers in New York City. 1786, Philadelphia printers conduct the first successful strike for increased wages. 1791, the first strike in the building trades by Philadelphia carpenters for a 10-hour day. A Bill of Rights is adopted. The 19th century brought with it what is called a new civic order. But during the 1800s, an undeclared war began, which continues until this day. On the one side, labor, on the other, owners, companies, the police, and various governing bodies with their militia. 1805, Philadelphia shoemakers found guilty of conspiracy to organize.
I'm a dying breed. You know, a laborer. I mean, it's strictly muscle work. I pick it up and I put it down and I pick it up and I put it down. But it's dying. I mean, you can't take pride anymore. Do you remember when a man could point to a house he built? He could tell you how many logs he stacked. He built it and he was proud of it. I just don't think I can be proud if a contractor builds a house for me. I just want to get in there, kick the carpenter in the ass, and take the saw away from him. Because I want to be a part of it, you know? But it's hard. It's hard to take pride in a bridge you're never going to cross, in a door you're never going to open. You're mass producing things, and you never get to see the end result. And it's not just the work. I mean, somebody's going to build something, right? The pyramids, the Empire State Building. These things don't just happen. There's hard work behind it. Well, you know what I think? I think they should take a building. Let's say the Empire State Building. And on one side, they should put a foot-wide strip from the bottom all the way to the top. And on that strip, they should put the name of every bricklayer. And they should put the name of every carpenter. They should put all the names. Because that way someone like me could stop with his kid, you know, and say, hey, look, that's me up there on the 34th floor. I put that steel beam in. If Picasso can point to a painting, what I got to point to? A writer. Writer can point to a book. Everyone should have something they can point to. Otherwise, we might as well all go back to the cave and stay there. And speaking of caves, you know that first caveman? You know the one I'm talking about, the one who went to see what was on the other side of the hill? I don't think he went there solely out of curiosity. No. He went to get his son out of the cave. Same way I'm gonna send my boy to college. See, when I see some kid dressed up nice in a tie, I'm thinking, maybe there goes my son. This is why I work. Because if you can't improve yourself, you improve your posterity. Otherwise, life ain't worth living.
1835, general strike for a 10-hour day in Philadelphia. Children in Paterson, New Jersey strike for an 11-hour a day and a 6-day week. 1842, Massachusetts Supreme Court legalizes labor unions. 1847, New Hampshire enacts the first 10-hour day law. 1865, 13th Amendment to Constitution abolishes lifetime slavery for an estimated 4 million blacks. 1869, Order of the Knights of Columbus founded, the goal to unionize all American workers, including blacks. By 1886, it would have 60,000 members. 1877, national uprising of railroad workers, 19 Irish coal miners hanged in Pennsylvania. 1882, first Labor Day parade in New York City to honor workers and the labor movement, 30,000 workers march.
One summer, after a lovely vacation with my children, I had run out of money. I needed cash, fast. The woman at the local staffing agency said, "You wouldn't be interested in the one job I have." "Try me," I said. No, you really wouldn't be interested," I said again. "Try me." "Well, there is a spot at the Otay Mesa toxic waste site." "What does that involve?" I asked. She said they needed people to empty leftover materials from construction sites into big barrels that would be taken away and destroyed. I asked myself, how bad could that be for 2 days? So I showed up on a sunny August day. No matter how beautiful they say the weather is in San Diego, it's just plain hot during the summer in Otay Mesa, which is a few miles inland. I was the only woman there, and I thought, yay, I have blasted through the gender barrier. The 40 to 50 of us suited up in zip-up woven paper outfits to keep the toxic wastes at bay. Then we donned rubber boots and taped them to the woven paper suits. We added hard hats with plastic pull-down shields and rubber gloves, also taped to the woven paper suits. The first half of the day, I stood at a table grabbing cans that another worker had cracked open and used a stir stick to empty the contents into the big barrels. The paint would usually pour out, but some of the other materials weren't as easy. The mastic was the worst. Pasty, sticky, gooey stuff that had to be scraped, dragged, and pulled out of the can with the stir stick. I then heaved the cans into a big dumpster maybe 10 feet away. After lunch, my new assignment was to climb into a dumpster that had been full at the start of the day. One end had been emptied, and I walked back and forth from the other end, bringing gallon cans of paint down to the table. I could see the wavy heat lines reminding me that it was hotter in the dumpster than it had been at the table all morning. At the end of the day, I decided that one day was enough of that. It was a dip into another world that I never knew existed. It made me think about all the jobs that I would never want to do, jobs that make my life easier because someone else does them.
'86, American Federation of Labor founded. No women, no blacks. 1886, Bayview tragedy. 2,000 Polish workers protesting a 10-hour day. 15 killed by the militia. 1887, Haymarket Square bombing. In Chicago, the International Harvesters rebel against replacement workers. Altogether, 10 people killed, 7 are policemen. 10 anarchists charged, 4 executed. 1887, in Thibodaux, Louisiana, 35 unarmed black sugar workers striking for $1 a day wage, 2 leaders lynched. 1890, Carpenters Union strike, They win 8-hour day for 28,000 workers, and the war goes on. Following this union success, there was further violence against workers. Throughout the 1890s in Pennsylvania and elsewhere, workers striking simply to protect their wages were massacred by local law enforcement, which usually was in the pockets of the company owners. Many protesters were killed and injured, which, thank heavens, brings us to 1900s. Now, however, even though they have often been described as labor's golden age, everything was not golden.
Good morning. I have looked at your resume. It's impressive.
Thank you. Well, I have had a lot of experience as a drama therapist.
I see, though, that it's been 8 years since you worked as a drama therapist. Why do you want to return to work now?
Well, I still have the skills, and I feel ready to work again.
I see you did a lot of work with AIDS clients. Can you describe how you did that? I wonder if he's gay.
I wonder if he's wondering if I'm gay. Yes, I had them make a shield. They used art materials to challenge the disease. This helped empower them and increase their self-esteem. It was very effective.
Yes, I can see that. But do you think you can do the same thing now? It has been 8 years.
What is this guy trying to say? Yes.
This guy seems pretty confident, but he is 72. What would you do with a client who got aggressive with you, as it sometimes happens here?
This interviewer thinks I can't handle myself because of my age. I smell discrimination here. Well, I would get a staff member to control him if he gets aggressive. Does it happen a lot here at Meadowbrook?
Oh, no. I was just wondering. Well, Mr. Wexler, again, your work history is pretty impressive, but I can't give you an answer right now. There are many others applying for the job as well. But I'll contact you in about a week.
I'm sure the other applicants are younger and that he's already chosen someone. This is obviously age discrimination. What are my chances, if I may ask?
Well, I can't really say. Bye for now.
Bye. We who are older, we may look fragile, we're not as mobile as the young, but what we lack in speed, we make up for in wisdom and experience, and we still have a passion for work.
Our golden age of labor had a fine beginning. 1903, Women's Trade Union League formed at the AFL convention. And in 1909, 20,000 female waste workers strike for safe working conditions. The women were told, "You are on strike against God." 1911, Triangle Shirtwaist Factory fire in New York kills nearly 150,000 workers, mainly women. 1912, Bread and Roses strike in Lawrence, Massachusetts. 23,000 men and women, children taken by their striking mothers to the trains to be transported to safe environment, were beaten by the police. 1913 to 1914, Ludlow, Colorado, mostly Greek miners, tent camp was set upon by the National Guard using machine guns to set the tents on fire. 2 women and 9 children burned to death. 63 people, including 12 children, dead. 1917, Supreme Court approves an 8-hour act under the threat of a national rail strike. 1931, the Crane Ford area of Alabama. Attempts were made to organize black sharecroppers. Their demands include wages for picking cotton to be paid in full in cash, and the right to sell their own crops and to plant a small garden for their own use. High sheriff and the posse raid, kills one, 35 jail, all released finally, but the SCU, the sharecroppers union, was effectively suppressed. National Labor Relations and Security Act passed 1935.
The assistant manager at Walmart has just made two of his employees, also known as associates, punch out for the day and continue to work off the books.
Now you're thinking, how could he make them work without pay? It's not me. It's not my manager. It's the numbers. The numbers make the decisions. It takes the personal element out of it. That's what's great about how corporations work. We don't have quotas, but we do have targets. And if our store's not hitting its target, we have to cut costs. Now, our building costs and shipping costs are fixed. Price of inventory, we don't control. Only one cost is flexible: labor. Now, when I ask my associates for a little bit more, it's way, way less than I give. I work 60 or 70 hours, and my paycheck says I work 40. An associate doesn't show up, I have to cover their job. Where does the buck stop? The assistant manager. But my work pays off in my profit share. Associates could get a share, too, if they stayed. But you know, out of 56 I had last year, I had to replace 44. Because these people steal. They take drugs. They file false claims for workman's comp. Mainly, they just disappear. I believe in the market. The market pays everyone exactly what they're worth. And I'm going to prove it. You seem like an upscale crowd. I'm guessing many of you shop at, I guess not many of you shop at Walmart. Okay. Are you ready to wash your own car? Pay a third more on your restaurant bill? Pay hardware store prices at Home Depot? No way, right? See how it works? It's not you. It's not me. The numbers decide.
Mm-hmm. 1936, Brotherhood of Sleeping Car Porters become the first black-led union to become full-fledged members of the AFL. It also signs its first contract with the Pullman Company after 12 years. 1938, Fair Labor Standards Act established, first minimum wage in a 40-hour week. It's also empowered to regulate child labor. 1963, Congress passes the law mandating equal pay for women. 1970, United Farm Workers, after 5 years, win contract with the California grape growers. 1974, Coalition of Labor Union Women founded. 1981, President Reagan breaks the air traffic controller strike by firing all strikers and refusing to negotiate. 1999, 30 to 50,000 working family activists take to the streets in Seattle against the World Trade Organization. They chant, if the global economy doesn't work for working families, it doesn't work. 1999, 5,000 North Carolina textile workers gain a union after 25 years.
April 15, 2009. Year 23 on the job. Another Thursday, another 1,000 United Media comic strips and cartoons to post on the web and to email. The typesetting job is temporary until I make it big as a playwright. Okay, after 5,000 days, that dream is fading. I did learn to be a professional typesetter, the workhorse who shows up every day, rain or shine, who guided the company through three major system upgrades. I am invaluable. I sense breathing behind me, see a reflection in my Mac screen. The cubicle is surrounded by a group of five upper management types. Debbie, the head of my department, is telling me, "Stop working, Sue. Go to the conference room." Oh, Lord, what do I have to explain now? The company always checks to see if it's something I can fix first before they talk to the less invaluable people. So I follow my strangely silent bosses to the conference room, where six stunned employees are sitting around the big table. Carol, the HR manager, is here, looking grim. Carol says that we're being laid off. We might have known about the bad first quarter if we actually read any of the newspapers we worked so hard to create. Carol hands out papers. Blah, 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 sign here, blah, blah, return this and wait for that in the mail. Stop working, pack up your things and leave. I'm sorry. So much for invaluable. And out of habit, I think of the clients holding the presses for our downloads. Am I being paid for the full shift, I ask Carol. She replies, yes. So I say, well, then I'm going to finish my work and make sure everything is in order. All the others are leaving, but I return to my desk and finish up what was on my screen. At a retirement party, 2 weeks later, they gave me this gold Dilbert watch. But the most important thing I own is this 100-year-old putty knife that my grandfather, the carpenter, gave me. It reminds me that I am a craftsperson, a typesetter, not just a computer operator. I know fonts and leading and kerning and never mind. Nobody cares anymore. All that comes with a computer nowadays. And the name that we had for newsprint newspapers, Dead Wood, becomes more and more true every day.
In its beginning, the labor movement fought for shorter hours, decent wages, and the very right to organize. Some feel that the unions were too successful, that the things they struggled to achieve are now written into both federal and state law. And the key question about unions today is whether they are still relevant. 2011, Governor Scott Walker in Wisconsin passes what is called a repair bill, decreasing state and local government workers' take-home pay by approximately 8%, and eliminating most collective bargaining rights. June 2011, New York State Governor Cuomo seeks to drastically cut retirement benefits for future state workers, even after state unions in 2009 agreed to major concessions on pay and benefits. 2011, New Jersey increases workers' contributions to health and pension payments without a cost of living raise and limiting state workers' collective bargaining rights.
I am very lucky. I'll be the first to tell you that. But having seen some pretty heavy things pretty early on in life, I'm also rather disillusioned. So I thought I was pretty lucky to have found theater. I can be truly, truthfully human, in the best and worst connotations of the word. I can vent my frustrations at life, which, it seems, is making me the victim of a joke I haven't even been let in on yet. In short, theater is my savior. It is my passion. And then I decided to major in it. I'll present to you now, and theatrically, because that's what I do, 5 actual reactions that I have gotten when telling people that I decided to major in theater. Psh, I've heard that pays well. Oh, that's great. You'll be able to make frappuccinos with real dramatic flair. Are you comfortable doing advertising? Because that's what you'll end up doing. Honey, I hope you plan on minoring in something real. And my personal favorite, you'll need to lose some weight then. I responded to this person that while I understood that theater was a glamour industry, I would do my best under the circumstances. They responded that they referred instead to the fact that the thinner you are, the more tips you get when working a pole. Yeah, I know. On one hand, yes. I am terrified of what awaits a person who comes out of college with a BFA in performing for theater. I'm terrified of being unemployed like so many I know, and having to worry about the loans I took out to get said degree, and my health, and whether I'm really happy. But I've learned from generations before me that there are far worse places to be than in the working class. It puts you among millions of people, all of whom are striving. They too are truly, truthfully human, though their stories aren't always of success. They too have dreams, like me, and the vision to achieve them, whether they're my age or close to retirement. J.K. Rowling said, "It's impossible to live without failing at something unless you have lived so cautiously that you might not have lived at all." A wise man said to me, "Go for your freaking dreams." I will. It's possible I won't succeed, but I would be so lucky to count myself among the working class. After all, it's not whether you win or lose, but with how much passion you lived. And when you look at it that way, well, there's worse places to be than making quality Frappuccino.
Are we entering an age where unions are becoming so weak that they will no longer be able to protect their members from the new threat against their livelihoods and working conditions? Will they ever regain the power they once had? Without unions, as President Obama said, the middle class, quote, "the middle class would not be enjoying what we now take for granted, the 40-hour work week, the minimum wage, family leave, health insurance, Social Security, Medicare, retirement plans. The cornerstone of middle class security all bear the union label."
In the next few moments, let's contemplate, given the current atmosphere in which corporate power, with the aid of some government officials, are limiting workers of what they've already earned, what the unions have gotten for them. Meanwhile, we see the enormous, vast spread between the haves and have-nots growing. Let us contemplate what we individually and as a congregation can do to narrow that gap and to preserve the rights of all workers. W.E.B. Du Bois said, "Now is the accepted time, not tomorrow, not some more convenient season. It is today that our best work can be done, and not some future day or future year. It is today that we fit ourselves for the greater usefulness of tomorrow. Today is the seed time. Now are the hours of work. And tomorrow comes the harvest and the playtime." We certainly do have our work cut out for us. Let's share a moment of silence as our hearts come together in solidarity, contemplating how we can preserve the rights of workers and the respect they deserve.
I am the only one. But I am one. I can't do everything, but I can do something. The something I ought to do, I can do. And by the grace of God, I will. Edward Everett Hale. Our worship has ended, and now our service begins.